The Old Testament reading is from Numbers 11. Now the rabble that was among the children of Israel had a strong craving, and the people of Israel also wept again and said, "Oh, that we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt that cost nothing, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our strength is dried up, and there is nothing at all but this manna to look at." Moses heard the people weeping throughout their clans, everyone at the door of his tent. And the anger of the Lord blazed hotly, and Moses was displeased. Moses said to the Lord, "Why have you dealt ill with your servant? And why have I not found favor in your sight, that you lay the burden of all this people on me? Did I conceive all this people? Did I give them birth, that you should say to me, 'Carry them in your bosom, as a nurse carries a child, to the land that you swore to give their fathers'? Where am I to get meat to give to all these people? For they weep before me and say, 'Give us meat that we may eat.' I am not able to carry all this people alone. The burden is too heavy for me. If you will treat me like this, kill me at once. If I find favor in your sight, that I may not see my wretchedness." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Gather for me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them to the tent of meeting, and let them take their stand there with you." So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord. And he gathered 70 men of elders of the people and placed them around the tent. Then the Lord came down in a cloud and spoke to him, and took some of the spirit that was laid on him and put it on the 70 elders. And as soon as the spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but they did not continue doing it. Now two men remained in the camp, one named Eldad and the other named Medad. And the spirit rested on them, and they were among those registered, but they had not gone out to the tent. And so they prophesied in camp. A young man ran and told Moses, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp." And Joshua, the son of Nun, the assistant of Moses, from his youth said, "My lord Moses, stop them." But Moses said to him, "Are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, the Lord would put his spirit on them." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from James 5. "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another, that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. He prayed fervently that it might not rain, and for 3 years and 6 months it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins." This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter. John said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not stop him, for no one who does a mighty work in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. For the one who is not against us is for us. For truly I say to you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ will by no means lose his reward. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be greater for him if a great millstone were hung around his neck and he was thrown into the sea. And if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than with two hands to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than with two feet to be thrown into hell. For if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes be thrown into hell, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good. But if the salt has lost its saltiness, how will you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text I chose for today's message was last week's gospel lesson. It's from Mark chapter 9. And they came to the other disciples. They saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. "What are you arguing with them about?" he asked. A man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son, who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not." "Oh, unbelieving generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So they brought him, and when the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" "From childhood," he answered. "It often throws him into a fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." "If you can," Jesus said, "everything is possible for him who believes." Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." When Jesus saw that the crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the evil spirit. "You deaf and mute spirit," he said, "I command you come out of him and never enter him again." The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. After Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" He replied, "This kind can come out only by prayer." There's a story. Christian father always taught his daughter, "Never fear, because God is always with you." And during a particularly bad electric storm, I mean the lightning chain across the sky, the thunder and all of that, the father hears from the main level, daughter sleeping on the second level, "Daddy, come help me." So he goes up there, and I mean she's just bawling, clutching her doll. And he says, "Didn't I tell you, don't fear, God's always with you?" She says, I know he's here, but I need somebody with flesh right now to hold me." All right. In the gospel lesson there that I read from Mark, we have this man that is possessed by a demon, and his father can do nothing. He believed only Jesus could do anything. You know, what stirs and does not sink a person's faith? How does faith surface and shine against the greatest odds and the greatest obstacles? Think about that. Facing all these obstacles, how does our faith shine? Well, first, dare yourself to actually have hope. off the coast of Australia, a yacht was going. Now, why anybody would bring their dog on a yacht is totally beyond me. Don't get it. But this is a true story. Couple brought their dog along, rough seas, the dog falls in to the water. So they keep circling around trying to find the dog, but they got to realize that little Sophie, their dog, is lost. Well, what happened to little Sophie? This little dog had hope. It swam for 6 miles in shark, heavily shark-infested water. Now, you just think about that. How many of you can swim in rough seas? How many of you can swim in a swimming pool? Oh, I am an expert swimmer. Oh, I go straight down every time without fail. But little Sophie makes it the 6 miles, gets to this remote island, and is hunting goats for the next 4 months and surviving. Now, there are a few people on the island. They would see this dog out there, and they realized that the dog didn't belong to any of them, but somebody had abandoned this dog on the island. So they get the wildlife rangers out there, and they catch Sophie. They figure out, well, wait a minute. I know who she belongs to. So the family's contacted. Remember, they think Sophie is already fish food. They get there, and immediately when they call her name, that dog wants out of that cage so badly. And the woman said she was a house dog, and look what she's done. She swam over 6 nautical miles. She has managed to live off the land all on her own. We wish she could talk. We truly do. Can you imagine the story that dog would have? Don't your dogs talk to you? Okay, you dog owners are nuts. My cats only say, feed me, or I eat you. Anyway, dare to have hope. The father in that gospel lesson wants to get to Jesus because he believes that only Jesus can help. And he's not going to take no for an answer. As with hope, he figures, I can get through this crowd to see him. Now, the English version says a great crowd. The only other time that particular word is used is when there were so many people surrounding Jesus. Remember, he had to get in the boat to preach. So you probably have a similar size crowd. Thousands of people pressing in on Jesus. Why does my drink have an olive in it? Okay. I always want to be Dean Martin, you know. Anyway, it says he ran to meet Jesus. One thing about Middle Eastern culture, men don't run. It is undignified for a man to run. He doesn't care about that. He doesn't care about dignity. He doesn't care about anything. He is getting to Jesus no matter what. Now, the chance of actually getting to Jesus with thousands pressing in on him is pretty slim, but this man has hope. Once he gets to the center, was he fine? The disciples are arguing with the teachers of the law. And the word there is like an incredible, strong argument. So this just wasn't, Peter, old boy, now what exactly do you think the law says on this? No, they're screaming and hollering. Kind of looks like Congress. So the disciples and the teachers of the law are going back and forth on it. So you have that going on. Imagine, great crowd, thousands of people. This father is trying to get through the crowd, and when he gets to the center where Jesus is, the disciples are arguing and screaming at the teachers of the law. But again, he makes it through great odds. And the man, or Jesus, was aware of the man's plea. He says, "O unbelieving generation, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So they brought him, and when the Spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" "From childhood," he answered. Just think about that. Thousands of people, disciples arguing, and Jesus hears him. There's a story about a man from Mississippi met one of those Yankee friends of his, went through downtown New York City. And all of a sudden, the good old boy from Mississippi goes, "I can hear a cricket." His friend looks at him and says, "Now how can you hear a cricket with all the street noise, the cars, the honking horns, and people yelling?" He says, "You got to have incredible hearing." Mississippi boy says, "Nope, our hearing's exactly the same. We're conditioned to hear something." He goes, "I'll prove my point." He takes out some coins and drops them on the ground, and the crowd stops. And he says, "People will hear what they want to hear." So guys, you're all toast when you said you didn't hear your wife. Because we hear what we want to hear. Jesus hears him in spite of the crowd and the noise. The disciples at first tried to cast out this demon, and they failed. The students may have failed, but the teacher hasn't failed. And notice, it doesn't say in there that the disciples went up to Jesus and said, "Lord, we got a problem. We tried this. It didn't work. Any suggestions?" No, they don't bother to tell Jesus at all. But the father goes right to Jesus. You know, why they fail to go tell him that they... Why did they fail to tell Jesus they failed? Try to say that 10 times fast. The answer might be in the text. They failed to pray. Maybe they were too distracted by the argument, but they had no time for the Father right now. This story about Jesus casting out the demon in this boy is an important story that made a great impact on all the disciples because it's recorded in all 4 Gospels. He implores Jesus to act. "It has often thrown him into a fire or water to kill him, but if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." "If you can," said Jesus, "everything is possible for him who believes." Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe, help me overcome my unbelief." When Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the evil spirit. "You deaf and mute spirit," he said, "I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." The spirit shrieked, convulsed violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. After Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" He said, "This kind can only come out by prayer." Speaking of prayer, there's a story of 3 Christians traveling in Russia. And they're going to go to Moscow, but they only get about halfway there and they're out of money. So they're thinking, how are we actually going to get to Moscow? So the one guy disguises himself to look like a priest. Because, of course, Russia, when a priest would come to a village, this was a big deal. So he gets into the village, and they're going to give him horses and a carriage to take him to Moscow. And a father comes running up to him, the fake priest, and says, "Father, would you please pray for my son? He's young, and I think he's dying." So this imposter priest kept up the charade, went into the man's house, prayed with the boy, and then left. So they get to Moscow, take care of their business, and now, of course, you got to return the horses and carriage. And they get back, and the guy's going, "Well, I better put on my priest disguise again." You know, which is real easy. You know, you can make these out of paper. And you never did that with the cardboard tabs in your shirt, put them in the front for laughs? See, you guys just are not nearly as much fun as I am. Anyway, the father comes running up to him and says, thank you, my son is better. An hour after you left our village, he got up and he's well again." 2 friends look at the phony priest like, "Say what?" So when they get aside, they said, "What did you do?" And he said, "This is what I prayed. Master of the universe, please, this father and son should not be punished just because they think I am a priest. What am I? I am nothing, a pretender. If this child dies, his father might think that a priest can do nothing. So master of the universe, not because of me, but because of this father and his faith, can it hurt that his son would be healed? The power of prayer. The great faith of this father in our gospel lesson is very much highlighted. As I said, it's in all four of the gospels. The father in this story reacts with faith. The demon reacts to seeing Jesus with absolute fear. And the father has to plead twice with Jesus to please help. The father's faith in this story is a lot like the faith of the Canaanite woman who came to get her daughter healed. They both had great faith. They both had a sick child, and they pleaded with Jesus for mercy. And then the father says, if you can. I would really like to have seen the facial expression on Jesus. If you can do something, please do. I'm sure he looked, if I can, you want to see what I can do? See, that would have been me. Jesus obviously doesn't act like me because he's perfect. But notice Jesus only acts for people of faith. The Father says, I have faith, but help my unbelief. I'm sure all of us have gotten to that point where you know you believe, but you always have that little lingering doubt. That's kind of that unbelief. See, that's old Satan tapping you on the back. Did God really say? Jesus only acts in the Gospels for people with faith. You know, we all get disappointed, we get discouraged, and we all feel defeated at one point or another. Great quote I found says, suffering is a comma, not a period. Because of course you know, when you put a comma in a sentence, there's always something after it. Unless you were my stupid students back in the day when they would use a comma for the end of the sentence. They weren't too bright. But a comma tells us there's something else going to happen afterwards. It's exactly like with life. We get discouraged. We feel disappointed. But it's only a comma in our life. There's something more to come. Look at this father in our text. He has great faith. He has that hope, and not hope in like the sense of maybe, kinda. The way the Bible uses hope is a certain thing. So he's got the hope that Jesus, that certain belief that Jesus can do something. And you know what? In the absolute beauty of all of this, as I said, thousands of people crowding in on Jesus, disciples yelling at the teachers of the law and them yelling back. Now I can imagine old Peter was right up there screaming with the rest of them. But whose voice did Jesus hear? The man. You want to think of something incredible? What is there, roughly a billion Christians in the world? Now, I don't know about you, but you ever go to a stadium and you can't hear what people around you are saying because of the noise racket? Imagine a billion people all talking to God at once. But yet he hears each and every one of us. That is the great love our Father has for us. In spite of all the chaos in the world around us, he's there and he hears us. So may the peace of God, which is above all of our human understanding, keep our hearts and minds always focused on Jesus Christ until life everlasting.